Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the end of our gospel reading for today, we hear these words from Jesus. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. These are words that we do not want to hear directed to us from Jesus' mouth. We do not want to hear these words from Jesus on the last day. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. No, instead, we as Christians want to be welcomed into our Lord's presence with words that we hear in Scripture like, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Words like, enter into the joy of your master, but not depart from me. No, we want to be with Jesus forever. And on that last day, we do not want to hear those words from Jesus, nor do we want our loved ones to hear these words at the end of our gospel reading from Jesus. We do not want them to be separated from Christ. We want them to be with Christ forever, just as we want to be with Christ forever. And that moment when a person stands before God is critical. What Jesus says there matters more than what anyone else says to you ever. It does not matter. It matters more than what your boss says to you, than what your coworkers say to you, what your friends and family say to you, what your children or parents or whoever it may be. It does not matter as much as what Jesus says to you there on the last day when he comes to judge the living and the dead. You want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To say, enter into the joy of your master. But we do not want to be separated from Jesus. And so, how are we to avoid these sorts of words that we hear at the end of our gospel reading? We know that we are saved only by the blood of Jesus. Jesus alone is the one who can pay for our sins. He alone is the one who gives us entry into heaven, whose perfect life was lived in our place and death was given on the cross to suffer the punishment for our sins so that we might be paid for. We might be covered in the blood of Jesus, and only because of Jesus can we hear the gracious words of God that welcome us into God's presence forever. Only because of the blood of Jesus. But it is possible for someone who here on this earth was baptized into God's name, who heard God's word, for that person to fall away from Christ, to be led astray. And Jesus especially warns us here against something that can lead us astray, so that we are not with Christ. And he tells us about that earlier in the gospel reading for today, when he tells us at the very beginning, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. It is possible for a person to be led astray and for people to fall away in the midst of all the temptations in this world. And indeed, if you were to look at the verses prior to our gospel reading, which I printed on the sermon note sheet that we had available for you. In those early verses, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus speaks these words right before he begins our reading for today from the gospel. And in there, he points out to us the danger that we are in as we live in this world. That there are many who find the way to destruction, and there are only few who find the way to life. And he warns, especially in our gospel reading, against false prophets, that is, false teachers, who can lead us astray so that we follow the broad and easy and wide road to destruction, and not the narrow way to life. The narrow way that few find. And so it is important, because we know that the way is narrow, because we know that there are many false prophets out there. It is important that we here in our Old Testament and Gospel reading look at, observe, and examine what are the ways in which we can recognize false prophets. That false teachers may come and lead us astray, and how are we to identify them? Because we do not want to be on the broad and wide way that leads to destruction. But we want to be on the narrow way that leads to life. Where we come to our Lord in the last day and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Rather than, "Depart from me." Which is something like those will hear who will be on the broad road to destruction. So how are we to guard against false prophets? That's the theme for today. We are to guard against false prophets. And what are we to look for? Well, first we're going to see that false prophets may deceive us into thinking that we don't have a problem. Second, that false teachers may preach to us a false Christ. And third, we must remember that we must use the Word of God to judge false prophets and all of their teaching. So first, let's consider how false prophets may deceive us into thinking that we don't have a problem. We saw this especially in our Old Testament reading for today from the book of Jeremiah, where the Lord warns, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes." That is, empty hopes. Hopes that aren't real. They are ephemeral. They're passing away. They aren't actually giving you true and lasting and real hope. But they are prophesying to you vain hopes. And how do they do that? Well, it goes on to say there at the beginning of our Old Testament reading, they speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. So they are speaking what they think out of their own minds, their own heads, but not what the Lord has said. Well, what specifically do they say? Well, in verse 17 of our Old Testament reading, we hear that they say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster shall come upon you." So first they might say to those who despise the word of the Lord, "Everything is well. Everything's good. It's okay. You don't need to worry about that part of the Bible." Perhaps they'll say, "That was for another time and another place. It's not really relevant for us here and now today in the 21st century. That was for then, this is now." And, well, yes, I know the Bible says that, but God understands. When someone says that, they are saying to you that you can despise the word of the Lord. You can say it's not true and you'll be just fine. It doesn't matter. Or perhaps they'll say, "Well, it's really, you can't understand what God says or what the Bible says. There are all kinds of different interpretations. So just set it aside and you need to just do what is best for you in this particular situation." No. The Lord, who speaks his word, is clear. He invented language. His word is clear. The problem is not with his word. The problem is with us. The darkness is not in his word. The darkness is in us. And the light of the word of God shines in the darkness. And in the midst of all of these other interpretations that people may have. And we examine what God's word says, and God is able to communicate. And we receive what he says as the truth. And seek to understand it and to repent of our own false belief and our own interpretations that are wrong and misled. And are guided by the ways of this world. And so, we want to treasure and hold on to the word. And so a false teacher will tell you, you can just set that aside. You can despise it. You can neglect it. You can ignore it. You don't need to study it. But a true teacher of the word of God, a true prophet, will tell you, here is the word of God to be treasured, to be held on to. And we need to understand what it says and to repent of our sin and our unbelief and receive it as the word of God who gave it to us. And that true prophet says that if you are despising the word of God, all is not well with you. They tell you that there is a problem. The false prophet also, as we hear in our Old Testament reading, will say to those who stubbornly follow their own heart, "No disaster shall come upon you." The person who, instead of following what the Word of God says, "I'm going to follow what I think is right, what I desire. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to do what I want to do." No, we are not to follow our own sinful hearts that are corrupted by original sin inherited from Adam. We are not to follow our hearts. Our hearts are not reliable because they are corrupted by sin. But the Word of God is what is reliable. And when called to repentance for sin, we must hear what God's Word says, and we must confess what we have done wrong, and believe in our Lord and receive His forgiveness, and desire to amend our sinful lives, rather than continuing to follow, stubbornly follow, the ways of our own hearts. To say, "I'm just going to keep going my way." No, so a false teacher will say, "Well, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to be wrong if you just keep going this way. This isn't a problem. Keep doing what you want." And they will not tell you to turn, to repent, to confess your sin. But a true teacher of the Word of God will tell you, "Here is what God's Word says. And your heart, your desires, what you want, that is wrong. Repent and believe. Repent and receive life." Because the true teacher wants you to follow on the path to life, even though it is narrow and it is hard and it is difficult. The false teacher doesn't care if you follow on the path to life. The false teacher wants you to like him or her. The false teacher wants whatever benefits you can give them. The false teacher wants to be liked and is not concerned about the responsibility before God to speak to you what God says and to tell you when you are wrong and where you are going astray from the Word of God, even if it means that they might be persecuted and rejected and despised themselves. The false teacher does not want to tell you that there is a problem. And if we think of an illustration here, we think how silly it would be to have a false teacher, a false prophet, and to listen to them. If your doctor said, "Well, I don't want to tell you that you have cancer. I'll just hide that from you because I don't want you to feel bad." And they never told you that you had cancer, and the cancer continued to develop such that you died, that doctor would be a false doctor. They would be doing wrong. They should be fired. And so too, one who says to you, when you have sin, when you're living in unrepentant sin, one who says, "Oh no, everything's going to be fine," that person is a false teacher and should not be listened to. But this is not the only way in which false teachers can deceive us and lead us astray. One of the other ways that false teachers have led people astray, and this brings us to our second point, is by preaching to us a false Christ, preaching to us another Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4, we hear these words: "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." There have been many in history who have confessed another Jesus. Whether it be that Jesus was just another prophet, that he was a good teacher, or that he was one who became godlike himself, or one who is a sort of sub-deity who came to show us the way. And there are groups still today who preach a false Christ. People like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. They are preaching to us a false Christ, and they should not be accepted as Christian churches because they preach another Jesus. A Jesus who perhaps in some cases may be an example or is a sub-deity, but he is not the one true God, God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made, who has come into this world to walk in our shoes and live a perfect life in our place and go to the cross to suffer the punishment for our sins. And so we should be on our guard against those who would preach some other Christ. And it even comes into the Christian church when people who claim to be Christians start to teach that Jesus didn't die on the cross suffering the wrath of God for our sins, but instead he died on the cross just to suffer our attacks. This is false. Jesus did suffer on the cross as he suffered the wrath of God, God's punishment for our sins. And why do people in our day and age not want to say that Jesus was suffering the wrath of God? Because they don't want to believe that God has wrath against sin. They don't want to believe that God hates sin. It is similar to the deception that I mentioned when false prophets do not want to tell you that there is a problem. False prophets also will want to say that God does not attack sin, does not punish sin. And this too is false. And we must guard against this. We must believe with Scripture that our Lord does punish sin. He is just and righteous. And he has dealt with sin by having Jesus take on all the sin of the world, including your sin and my sin, so that he could be punished for it. He didn't just pass over it and say, it's okay, don't worry about it. But instead, he took it upon himself and suffered hell on the cross to pay the full price and penalty. And only he, as the Son of God, could pay the sufficient price for the sins of the entire world. And only he, as a man, could actually die there on the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ was true God and true man, suffering in our flesh to pay for our sins so that you might be forgiven and that the wrath of God might be satisfied in Jesus, and so that on the last day, you can be welcomed into the joy of your master. That our Lord can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, not because you have done so many good things, but because Jesus has done it perfectly in your place. And so we must guard against false prophets who would on the one hand tell us there isn't a problem for which you need a Savior. And then second, guard against those who would twist and pervert and change this Savior to be some other moral example who shows us the way, who gives us good precepts and commandments, but does not preach Jesus as the one who suffers in our place to pay the price for us on the cross. But there is a third point that we must bring up. In addition to seeing the ways in which false teachers can lead us astray by telling us there is no problem, there's not a real Savior who pays the price for you in your place, we must remember that when we look at all false teachers, we must judge them according to the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that helps us understand who is a false teacher and recognize them by their fruits, as Jesus says, because we compare their teaching to the Word of God. Which means that we must know the Word of God. It is not sufficient just for the pastor to know the Bible. Every single Christian must know the Word of God. Every single Christian should have read the entire Bible. If it is within their ability to read, they should have read the Word of God, the entirety of what God says to you. The Lord gave you the entire Bible for a reason. All of it is His word to you, spoken to you. And His word is life. Scripture says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we should take and treasure and receive with gladness every single word and recognize that our Lord gives it to us so that we may guard against false teachers, guard against the wide and broad and easy way that leads to destruction, and recognize the one in whom we have the path to life. Because this word of God helps us to see what is true and what is false, and preaches to us our only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. We do not want, on the last day, to hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." We want to be with our Lord, and we do not want to be led astray by false teaching. And it is possible for us to be led astray and to be under God's judgment. Just as Adam and Eve were led astray by the father of lies, Satan himself, in the Garden of Eden. It is possible, too, for us. If Adam and Eve, in their state of innocence, in their close communion with God, could be led astray, then we too, who already are born with the corruption of original sin inherited from them, then we all the more can be led astray by false teachers and by Satan himself, the father of lies, whose lies are taught and proclaimed by false teachers. And so we must guard against them. Because on the last day, we want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And so we guard against these false prophets, and we receive with gladness the word that our Lord has given, which is used to judge false teachers, and to recognize the truth, and so that we may recognize the voice of our Savior. Jesus says that "my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me." And so we, his sheep, must hear his voice in the word of God, must hear and recognize it by comparing every other voice to the word of God, so that we may follow those who are proclaiming what God's word says, who are telling us where there is a problem, where we have sin and unbelief, and we are following the stubbornness of our own hearts, where we may be despising the word of God, who tell us the wonderful, comforting good news of our Savior, who has paid for our sins, and in whom we have life, and the only one in whom we have life, who preach to us a word that is consistent with the entirety of the word of God. Follow this word, and follow our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And on that day, he opens to us his sheep, and brings us into his fold, his eternal fold, where we will be with him and see the shepherd in all his glory forever. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.